Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
Welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by a man who lives near Sendai in the wilds of Japan, Mr. Chris Broad. Chris, how are you doing?
Hello. I'm very good, Pete. I'm very good. We're laughing, ladies and gentlemen, because I've tried to do the opening to this podcast four times, no less, and for some reason I've just forgotten it. After doing it 200 times now, I don't know why. What is wrong with
it? It's just amazing. It's like you've caught some kind of brain bug. You've got like a brain worm that sucked all the information out of your noggin. I mean, the situation is, Chris wanted to remind everyone that there's a podcast released on Wednesday night, GMT, sort of European time, and also on Sunday night as well at 10 p.m. GMT / British summertime, whatever it is. It's 10 p.m. in the UK because I'm the one uploading it. And he wanted to make it clear because a lot of people only listen to individual episodes. They're not sure, you know, when shows come out, and sometimes they'll get emails or tweets. Pete, Chris, the show isn't up yet, blah, 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 blah. It comes out 10 p.m. Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Sunday night in Britain. So if you're wondering where the podcast is, that's where it is. Chris tried to incorporate this new piece of information into his intro, and he's been found wanting, I think it's fair to say. Would that be fair, Chris?
It's been depressing. I think, go back to your little, my illness, my brain disease. I've been watching, watched a video today about people who do pranks where they pretend that their memory is gone. And it's the most ridiculous, depressing pranks I've ever seen, but they get like 20 million views. And I seem to have pranked myself, by just forgetting the intro to the podcast that I've done 200 times before. I'm very angry.
So they just pretend that they don't know their family and friends and stuff and what they've done.
So basically, you pretend that you've like fallen down the stairs and hit your head. You go to a shop and buy some bandages, wrap it around your head, and then you go and meet your family member, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your friend, and then you sort of say, oh, who are you? I don't know who you are. And usually one of your friends will be in on the joke and they'll escort you and they'll sort of be in on it and be like, oh, no, Dave's forgotten his memory. What are we going to do? And their friend and family will cry and be sad. And then they'll go, oh, it's a prank. And it's the saddest thing I've ever seen. But it gets about 10 million views for everyone who's done it. So inevitably, I'm going to have to do it as well.
I wouldn't like to hang out with a YouTuber, like a prank YouTuber. I'd be like, Dave, you're doing it again. Well, you're a YouTuber, but you don't pull pranks on people, and I'm too far away for you to pull pranks on me. I'm prank resistant right now because I live in England. But yeah, I'd find it very tedious. I'd go, Steve, stop it, you prick. Fucking wind it in.
It's a sad place, YouTube. Sometimes a very sad place.
It's the desperation for the heat, for the clicks.
It is, isn't it? I had a weird comment that triggered me the other day. As you know, Pete and ladies and gentlemen, I often get triggered by comments. Actually, no, it's rare. To be fair, I got triggered a few months ago. I'm pretty good, but I did a video over Christmas about KFC, right? And in that video, at the start, I mentioned that my beloved bath mat, which I've used every day for 2 years, was filled with asbestos because of a Chinese factory who were arguably crap. And so I went to throw it out, and I made the video about it, right? And somebody commented saying, "I don't know why this channel content is always so negative these days, from subs to unsubs." And they unsubscribed because I was so negative. And I replied, "I'm not going to lie, it's pretty tricky putting a positive spin on a carcinogenic bath mat." And it's like, seriously. And also, I'm negative anyway. That's my brand, isn't it? That's what I do.
You're Stuart Lee for the Snapchat TikTok generation.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what they're on, but like, yeah, that triggered me, and I've given up.
Yeah,
bloody YouTube.
You should do like another one of those, you know, Japanese YouTuber reads mean comments, because it's always very interesting. And I'm not on kind of video at any point anymore, really. So I don't get like the abuse that I certainly used to when I used to interview people. And if you interview someone, that person who's watching that video is watching the video for the person you're interviewing. So I could be interviewing, or I have been interviewing, like Noel Gallagher or Liam Gallagher or the Hollywood guy, or you know, I had some pretty decent guests on my evening show, and
you did, yeah.
And so people would they'd go to the video to watch the person that they're interviewing. So you are never going to win in those situations. You're always going to get slated. Mm-hmm. Someone is always going to say you look like a B-Jams pound stretcher version of like, you know, the Colonel, the KFC Colonel. So you're always going to get that sort of thing. But YouTubers have to have a much thicker skin, and they have to be a lot more kind of fair-minded, I think it's fair. So you can't afford to spend time getting in the weeds with people. But what surprised me about that person who commented about your carcinogenic bath mat and your misery related to owning such a thing. I think it was a girl, wasn't it? You don't normally sort of see the
it
crazy
was,
from
yeah.
girl posters.
Yeah, girls are actually nicer. Generally, although I'm saying that, I'm looking through.
Well, just more grown up, I think it's fair to say. They're not keyboard warriors in the main.
Well, saying that, I have got a document filled with hate comments that I've built up for an inevitable video. And one of them is from a channel commenter called Sweet Potato Tracy. And she wrote, "This is boring, this channel. It should be called A Boring in Japan." And I said, I agree.
With
a distinct
agree with
lack of sweet
Absolutely
potatoes.
Absolutely got you, mate. Absolutely done you.
Boring
there.
In Japan.
This should be A Boring in Japan. Chris, A Boring.
Ridiculous. God, but I don't know. It's rare. Luckily, it's rare. And YouTube's actually had a crackdown on hate comments. And they're few and far between now. We're a rare resource, like unobtainium. So the hate comments are at an end. So be pleased to learn, I finally, after many months of being lazy and stupid, I finally changed the tyres of my car. I now have snow tyres. 2,000 yen, $20. I can drive in the snow. It's a revelation.
Because, I mean, you're a man who owned snow tyres, but you didn't. Well, hang on. So, did you own snow tyres? Like, I thought they were like chains. Have we been through this before? You've had your snow tyres replaced for 2,000 yen.
I've basically my snow tyres have been in a cupboard the last year. And when November comes around, you drive to a garage and you just give some money to someone. They do it for you. It's very painless. But because I'd never actually done it before, because when I owned my car 2 or 3 years ago. Like a lot of people, I'm very lazy. I left the snow tyres on all year round. Probably made the snow tyres redundant by the time snow actually fell. But it's cool. In Japan, you rock up to a garage, give them 2,000 yen. They do all the tyres for you while you sit inside and have a coffee. And then when it's done, they'll come back out and they'll sort of make you come out to the car. And then they'll bring out a wrench and like prove to you that they've put the tires on properly. And we went round to every single tire and he was like, "Look, this wheel's good. Yeah, yeah. Like, this wheel's good. This one's good." I was like, "Oh yeah, that one's good. I like that one."
And
like,
fantastic.
It was really awkward. But it's good.
That's hilarious.
I can drive now. I feel free.
I like to think it was like a little pit stop in a Formula One. They just do it really quick with that.
They're super fast at it because I guess they have to do thousands of cars every year, right? But very painless.
Well, they could probably cut out the whole kind of like reading the Miranda rights to each wheel. To be quite frank, I think with the snow tires though. I mean, you've got a small flat because you live in Japan. How have you managed to keep 4 snow tires in your house all year?
So there's a little kind of shed. All apartments in Japan can be like an outdoor shed where you can store like tires, bicycles, your dead friend. It's great. It's very handy. I actually used it to film the sketch about a year ago where I pretended there was another Chris that I'd beaten up and left in a cupboard.
That's where he goes in the shed.
Looks
surprisingly spacious. I saw that in the highlight package you produced over the Christmas period. Very enjoyable. Yeah.
I love that clip. I don't know why I like it so much. I think it was a fun little foray into a cinematic universe there. That was good fun. But it's been a productive week. Another resolution I had this year, apart from throwing away my asbestos bath mat, which I've now done, thankfully.
Great way to start anyway, I would say.
Yeah, 2021, off to a good start now that the bath mat's gone. I realized one of the problems I have with learning Japanese is it's all well and good learning and practicing, but if you don't have someone you can speak to, it's all for nothing, right? And
nothing,
one of the big problems is I don't have enough Japanese friends in Sendai who I can speak or practice Japanese with. And I'm not the sort of person to go around the bars at night and just chat to the bar owner. And even that seems a bit precarious with the whole COVID situation. So what I've done is every week, Natsuki and I now arrange to meet up online on a video chat for about an hour or two. 1 hour, I speak only in Japanese. I cannot switch back to English. And then 1 hour, he speaks only in English and can't switch to Japanese. The result being that we can actually practice the languages and have a beer and a catch up and a bit of fun, like we used to back when I lived in Yamagata. So I'm looking forward to that. I haven't actually done it yet. That's happening tomorrow. So.
Are you gonna be see? Well, we'll see how that one pans out then.
It's probably a disaster.
A terrible idea. I just can't see his face because of all of the smoke. You will be. Let's face it. You will be charging for these Japanese lessons by the end. You'll get it on the old YouTube paid channels. Teach yourself Japanese with Natsuki.
Teach yourself Japanese, Natsuki. I did think about it. I thought
it's not a bad idea.
We could do like a Patreon for Natsuki, and then people could have like a monthly fee, like a separate Patreon where he could do it. I just think it would be very time intensive. So I don't know if he'd want to do it, but I don't know. I'm looking at things we could do with Natsuki this year, inclusive stuff. But beyond that, first things first, it's nice to just chat with him and it's going to be fun. So what I do every week when I'm learning Japanese, I write down notes and phrases where I want to learn the intonation or the pronunciation or I have questions, and I'm just going to bring those up to him and talk them through it.
Nice.
So it should be
fun. Anything you've learned this week?
I haven't done it yet. So I've bigged it up, but I've never done it. So it's going to be a disaster.
Sounds like every diet plan, January diet
plan.
It
does, doesn't it?
Sounds this very much me looking at what they're called, workout machines, rental workout machines online. I was looking at them yesterday.
like a bicycle.
Elliptical trainers. Well, the problem is I can't run around because A, it's effing boring and I can't stand just running for running's sake. My body and my lungs just sort of go, Peter, don't worry about it. You're not being chased by anything. Don't worry about it. But I did like when I was at the gym, I liked on the old, being on the old elliptical trainer because it didn't hurt my knees any.
Right, yeah. Okay.
My partner's just bringing me a cup of coffee.
Wow.
That's an old cup of coffee. One. I'll have both cups of coffee. Thank you.
Being waited on hand and foot. Lucky devil. Pete Donaldson.
Kohi o norimashō.
Oh, God. It's a sort of Japanese. I'll be practicing with Natsuki. You know what?
Thank you.
You could do it as well, though, if this actually works. And what I think is going to happen is Natsuki, because Natsuki's absolutely hopeless with technology, he is not going to know how to use anything. And it's just going to be a disaster. But if we nail the formula, if we make it work, you could practice with him as well every week. You could use your various Japanese words like shopai and oppai. Two of the words I know you know.
Shopai.
And you can practice them, become fluent for when you come here later in the year.
Yeah. What's Natsuki's sort of accent like? Because I don't know. There are sort of like several. It's a bit like the UK in that it's quite a small island. A lot of people, small island, and the regional variations are so stark from town to town. Does he sound really upper class, or does he sound like a bit of an idiot?
Does he sound like Well, people from Yamagata Prefecture historically have always been mocked for their accent. What's the equivalent in the UK, do you think? Probably where you're from, isn't it?
Probably my one, isn't
it? So he is basically in the Hartlepool of Japan.
He's a Yorkel.
So
right,
he sounds like you, doesn't he? No, he actually, to be fair to Natsuki, I think he has a nice accent. He's got kind of a Tokyo standard Japanese accent, I think. But I'm not an expert on the field of accents. Like what I know is different regions in Japan have different words they include. For example, Mokidano means like thank you, and that's a word they use in Yamagata that people in Osaka or Tokyo probably wouldn't know that well. So Mokidano. It's like cheers, thanks. It's quite a cute sounding word, isn't it?
Mokidano. Like Bookham Dano, which I think was used in his TV show. I don't know. Is it Miami Vice or something? Bookham Dano.
Miami Vice. Mocky
Dano.
Oh, boy. But yeah, it's the same.
That's how
it's
I remember
like
stuff.
There you go. And that is how you can learn and practice with Natsuki. You can use your new phrase, Mocky Dano.
Mocky Dano.
It'll be glorious.
Nice.
It'll be glorious.
I like it.
Now, we have a story this week from Tom, and it is a story about eyes. It's an interesting topic.
No, thank you.
It begins. I, Chris and Pete, love the podcast and all the videos. There's a story that happened back in 2015 around Christmas in Osaka. My now wife, Charlotte, who was living in China at the time, came to visit me for Christmas. I was traveling in Japan, going from Cape Sawyer, the most northern point of Japan, all the way down to Nagasaki in the south. We're in Kyoto for a day trip, visiting the Toye Studio Park, and we had just finished and we were wandering around looking for some lunch. We happened upon an okonomiyaki pancake stall, and we placed our order. Ooh. We were waiting when an elderly Japanese lady, maybe in her 70s or 80s, started chatting to us. We weren't sure what she was saying, as our Japanese stretched to only ordering food. We tried our best to have a chat. As we know, elderly people in Japan can be quite lonely. When she realized we didn't speak good Japanese, she stopped talking for a moment, looked at me, and then my wife, then back to me, and to her again. She stares at my wife for a solid 10 seconds and tells her in English, "Blue eyes are better than brown." We were a bit taken aback by how random a sentence that was. Thank you. I said, "I have blue eyes, my wife has brown." She was very pleased, and she stared at me for a few seconds, smiled, said goodbye, and walked away. It was a hilarious part of our trip, but to this day, if anyone brings up eye colour, we look at each other and say, "Blue eyes are better than brown." My wife also constantly makes jokes that elderly Japanese women are going to steal me away. We now live in Korea, went back to Japan in February 2020 for our honeymoon. Looking forward to more of the podcasts and hope to be in Japan again soon. All the best, Tom Gillen. Blue eyes better than brown. What do you make of that, Pete? Is that offensive or a compliment? I love the way she just sort of sidelined Tom's wife there and was just like, "Your eyes, rubbish. Tom's eyes, whoa, blue." But I'm not surprised, right?
It sounds like a strong thing to say, doesn't it, to someone you've just met?
It's certainly a powerful opening line, but I'm not surprised because they do like blue eyes in Japan because they're a rarity, of course. Everybody has kind of brown eyes and black hair in Japan. So I remember a friend of mine who's also named Tom, actually. What is with Tom? Tom and blue eyes. Tom's with blue eyes. He was always having people like touch him, not inappropriately, just on the shoulder or the face. Maybe that's inappropriate. And it was quite a surreal experience. But because he had blonde hair and blue eyes, he was like treated like a god almost, like moths to a flame. People would be in awe of his appearance, whereas people would look at me and be like, "Oh, rubbish. I've got green
dirty
eyes.
Old so. Chris. Dirty old
dirty
green
old Chris
eyes.
With rubbish eyes."
Mine are like a dark green brown. It was described at one point as being hazel. It's really not. It's dirty old brown. My dad has beautiful blue eyes. He has proper like approaching like a milky Paul Newman kind of eyes, and they're the best eyes to have, I think. I'd love blue eyes.
Bring him over. Bring him over to Japan. He'd be a hit with the ladies. They would palpate his face.
Like Mussolini. A man who legitimately looks like Mussolini mixed with Santa right now. That's his lookalike. Mine's my despot is probably a young Stalin. Young Lenin. Not young Stalin. Young Stalin's quite handsome. Lenin. Young Lenin. Not a despot. I'm not getting into the Stalin versus Lenin Lenin debate, but I'm fairly certain that people regard Lenin's work as being less strong as Stalin's work in the world of, you know, human rights, etc. Anyway, I look like young Lenin and my dad looks like a fully grown Mussolini. Okay?
Fine. You should both come to Japan and see who's most popular. We'll do a vote.
I think I need another
ladies of Japan. Get the ladies of Japan to choose between you and your dad, Mussolini and Lenin. But it kind of fits in nicely with this week's news topic. This week, came across an article about impressions, how to make a good impression or a bad impression on a Japanese woman. There was a Japanese woman, and there was a study done in a popular magazine that listed the traits women look for in a guy who, to make a good impression or a bad impression. And as you go down the list, what you realize is the good impressions are pretty much the same as the bad impressions, and it's all rather confusing. Now, I've always found charisma and impressions a really interesting thing. I remember I bought a book called The Charisma Myth a few years ago when I was trying to boost my charisma. When you're in a video, on screen, hundreds of times, in front of thousands of people, you want to look charismatic, right? And what I discovered is it's all about how you move around. It's all about how much you nod. Apparently, if you wave your arms around, you look like an idiot. You've got to move slowly and with authority. And you've got to nod. One interesting fact to boost your charisma is you've got to nod slowly. So when you're agreeing to something, nod slowly. Don't nod quickly because you look like you're desperate. Oh. You look weak.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Hope you're taking notes down, Pete.
So sort of like you sort of nod with the ferocity of a man who's just had a recent neck operation.
Exactly, and you'll be thrice as charismatic.
So you're in Starbucks. They go, "Do you want cream in your latte?" And you go, "One nod, two nod." Creepy man.
That is exactly what will happen. And mate, if you don't get thrown,
speaking of my mate Rick, it just made me laugh. My mate, before we came on, Rick, he's learning Chinese on one of those Duolingo apps, and they've got this kind of like fully grown, kind of like sexy, kind of Spanish man with his shirt untucked and a big porno mustache. You know, they have little graphics of people delivering the lines. And one of the lines is, "Your child is pretty."
Oh, fuck.
And then the second line is, "Am I pretty?"
No.
And he wrote, "Dreading the third act of this short play." Am I pretty? Are we pretty?
It sounds like something out of a Japanese textbook, to be honest. That's not a stretch of the imagination. I've read out worse things than that in Japanese textbooks over the years, to be honest. But
love it.
Let's take a look at this list of traits to make a good first impression. I'll go through how to make a good first impression. Then afterwards, Pete, you can go through how to make a bad first impression, okay?
Okay.
So I'll start off. Get your notebooks out, ladies and gentlemen. This will could change the game when you're over here next. Number one, how to make a good first impression. Have a cheerful smile. A cheerful smile. I think I do that. I'll tick that one off. Number two, speak in an intimately friendly way. What is that? What does that mean?
Sort of getting sort of really close to them, but being quite joyful. Do you see the game last night? Like really leaning in, Matthew McConaughey style.
That wouldn't go down well here. That would scare a lot of people.
No, not in the slightest.
But apparently that's the second thing. Third thing. To make a good first impression, be fashionable and clean. Are you fashionable and clean, Pete? Are you fashionable and clean?
I'm one of those things.
But which one is
one
it?
Of
actually,
those
you
things.
Are
yeah, exactly.
relatively fashionable. I'll give you that. I'm not so sure about that. Number four. I like this one. Good first impression. They look at your eyes. He'll look at your eyes when he talks to you, just like he should. I like the way that's phrased. Just like he should. And number five. You've got to have a relaxed, calm personality to make a good first impression. So cheerful smile, intimately friendly speaking manner, fashionable and clean, eye contact, and a relaxed, calm personality. And with that in mind...
That sounds all right.
Now let's see. You read through the bad first impressions. This is the opposite. This is how to screw things up, right? Let's see how different.
Yeah, this is you are walking into a room and stinking it up with your bad first impression. Number one has a strange grin on his face. Now, how is that different to cheerful smile? anyone.
It's all a matter of perspective, isn't it?
Exactly, so massively. Number two, speaks to you like you're already close acquaintances. How is that different to speaks in an intimately friendly way, Chris? What's going on here, mate?
I don't know.
Much effort into his grooming. How can you be fashionable and clean if you don't put a bit of effort into your grooming? Number four, stares at your eyes when he talks to you. I mean, the good first impression was look at your eyes when he talks to you, just like he should. What the hell? Isn't energetic. The fifth, isn't energetic. So you've got... So basically, I'm just confused. So isn't energetic is the same as has a relaxed, calm personality, surely?
I think, I mean, when I read the phrase isn't energetic, I'm picturing like lazy and lethargic. And that is different from being relaxed and calm.
Yeah, but I mean, it's different between like walking around like ripped to the tits on Valium with a new suit on. Like, oh, isn't he fashionable and clean and relaxed and calm? Oh, dear Lord. It's all just the bad first impression are exactly the same as the good first impression. And I say this with love, they don't know what they want, these lovers.
It's always these surveys are really dodgy and skewed. Like, remember, I think a year and a half ago, I did 26 things Japanese women want in a guy, which was a survey that was conducted. And I went through them with my friend Jackie. And she sort of said, yeah, that one, I agree. I understand that one. And there was some really weird stuff. Like, one of them was, I like a man who likes Beatles. And a lot of people thought, oh, the Beatles. No, actual Beatles. Insects.
They've asked one person. They've asked one person. This is not one. We asked 100 people for Family Fortunes level. This is just we asked one person, and even them, they were a bit mad.
It's just some crazy person crossing like Harajuku. They stick a microphone in their face.
Like,
what do you think about Beatles? Do you like Beatles?
I like turtles.
Absolutely bonkers. But there you go.
Wonderful.
There you go. I think stares at your eyes when he talks to you. How is that different from looks at your eyes when he talks to you just like he should?
Not a clue.
I suppose, again, the key word there is looks at your eyes and stares at your eyes. People that are a bit starey, that could be a bit odd, couldn't it? Could be a bit creepy.
Starey, so I guess can be scary.
A slight change there. And also, in Japan, people tend not to look into your eyes that much. They don't stare. People,
right.
It's seen as rude to like talk to someone and stare at their face the whole time. You sort of got to look down a little bit. And it's a vibe that you'll pick up on quickly when you get here. Because at first, when I got here, right, and people are talking to me, they're sort of like not really looking at me. They'll sort of look down at the ground or away. It's a little bit uncomfortable. I just thought something wrong with my face. Like, yeah, have I done something to my face? Well, I got like crisps all over my mouth and chocolate. But no, it's just like a thing in Japan that it's kind of seen as rude to stare or make eye contact. And some people make it really awkward and just will not look at you. It's like they're looking over your shoulders. They talk to you and it'll really put you off. But that's something to look forward to if you move here. But there you go. Learn the secrets of charisma. There you go. And on a completely different news topic of the week, I love the way how jarring these news topics are. Japan is developing the first wooden satellite to cut space junk. Japanese company and Kyoto University have joined forces to develop what they hope will be the world's first satellites made out of wood by 2023. The idea being, and to be fair, this is rather clever, when satellites come out of orbit, obviously they rain down upon the Earth and they can cause all sorts of damage and... some of them do burn up, but they don't burn up very well. And a lot of satellites stay in orbit and cause damage and will be there for centuries, forever, potentially. With a wooden satellite, as it comes down out of orbit, it will burn up upon re-entry and just completely incinerate because it's made out of wood. And Kyoto University has teamed up with Sumitomo Forestry to do research on tree growth and the use of wooden materials in space, which I think is rather exciting. Because I love
that
it.
That is really
space.
Exciting. Yeah. You do love space. You're well known as Japan's greatest space enthusiast.
I am. I served Elon Musk a rocket-shaped birthday cake. That makes me an expert on all space matters.
I was going to say they just need to sort of man up and just man up. They just need to man up and sort out a big space magnet. But I presume everything's made of aluminium these days, so probably not ideal, is it?
Probably not, no. Stick with the wooden satellites. But yeah, there you go. I think it's pretty cool.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
This week on Stakhanov.
Join the self-care club as they trial out all those January health kicks. Listen as they put themselves to the test with Couch to 5K, Dry January and loads more.
I think that evening was probably the closest you and I have ever come to having a bit of a Barney, which we didn't
really
have, but we nearly had one. It could have tipped into Bruges.
And why not check out the latest episode of Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy, where Roberto Martinez reflects on the highs and lows of his managerial career and the lessons he's drawn from 14 years at the top of the game.
When you're a young coach, you almost feel that you want to answer every doubt or every question mark that there is surrounding your position and out there. And then the older that you get, you understand that you cannot stop that. It's impossible. You need to affect the headlines of tomorrow. And that's the real power of working in football and being the manager.
All that and a whole lot more at Stakhanov.
Now, without further ado, we turn our attention to the fax machine. What have we got this week in the fax machine, Mr. Donaldson?
We have got a message from Mike M. Feel free to use my name in the podcast. I will, Mike M. Thank you. Chris put it there. So I'm always going to read everything out. That's, I'm not going to scan the email before I read out the name, so don't worry about it. I will always expose. You can send anonymous emails. I'm joking. Hello, Chris and Pete. I have a question about Journey Across Japan, Escape to Mount Fuji, Episode 3, the one with the 1,000-year-old log that has onsen water intermingling with the wood, according to Joy, a.k.a. Dr. Jelly and Hand Jelly. In this episode, you're wearing a T-shirt I must acquire at any cost. Okay, maybe not at any cost, but I really covet it. The shirt that you wear is a perfect description of my life. Has high functionality. My new life motto. Maybe this garment is available on your merch store and I just haven't checked in a while, and it is a perfect time for a shameless merch plug. Anyway, I'm catching up on the Journey Across Japan Escape to Mount Fuji series after the holidays here in the US, and I am loving it. All the best, Mike M. Feel free to use my name in the podcast. So is this T-shirt available online, or did you buy it from a Daiso?
It is... not available online. I bought it not from a Daiso either. Daiso doesn't sell T-shirts. No, it doesn't. I was moping across the other side of Sendai back in March last year, and I came across it in like a there's Daiso, which is like the good 100 yen store, and then there's like a really crappy one, and I can't remember the name because it was so awful. But within that store, they did clothes, and for 100 yen, I got Has High Functionality, which is one of my favourite garments I've bought in the last decade. I should go back there. I don't know if they still sell it. I should go back there and just buy them all out and just add them to the merch store. I'm tempted to just steal the phrase and put it on my own merchandise, but something feels wrong about that. Something feels wrong, doesn't it? That stealing a motto like Has High Functionality and putting it on your own merch. Is that unethical? It's not really,
well,
is it?
It's all nonsense, steal isn't it? It doesn't make any sense. Steal it. Yeah, steal it, mate. Steal it.
I tell you what, my beloved For Fuck's Sake T-shirt has been stolen so much. It featured on 9gag last year, and from there, loads of people pinched the design and modified it really minutely. It's pretty much the same design and started selling it everywhere on every platform, which really annoyed me. Nevertheless, people have still been buying off the Abroad Japan merch store on Teespring, the official one. So if you see it, if you see some merchandise for fuck's sake T-shirt and it's not on Teespring and it's not on the Abroad Japan store, it's not the real deal. It's not the real thing. And the quality might be inferior because I think they would have stolen the design and sort of re-uploaded it. But
interesting.
I was disheartening. I love that design. It's sad to see people steal it, but glad it's a lovely bit so good people stole it, right? I guess that's flattering.
I remembered making a Football Ramble shirt that was based around the four, you know, the black flag, the famous black flag T-shirts, like four columns out of kilter and the words black flag. I made a Football Ramble one, and it did not take long for people... IP lawyers to get in touch saying,
"Oh God,
you got to take that down." Thank you. I was like, "Okay, fine." It was derivative.
You're on the other side,
at least.
Fence.
It was transformative, mate.
Transformative. That's the sort of thing people say when they steal my designs. It's just
I, wait until you get my reaction. If this lockdown is going to prove nothing else, I'm gonna try my very best to squeeze out there. Pete Donaldson reacts to a Chris Broad reacts to a Chris Broad.
Did you just say Chris Broad? You bastard.
Yeah, I did. Old Chris Bordy. Old
Bordy. I discovered just yesterday, actually, that 1.4% of all people who search for the channel on YouTube type in "a board in Japan" by accident. 1.4%.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So.
A board spelt like a wooden board, or B-O-R-E-D.
O-A-R-D, yeah, like a wooden board. A board in Japan.
Ah, good. Well, at least that. So, well, at least it's that.
It's better than being bored, isn't it? Bored in Japan. It's like that person, whatever their name was earlier. We got one from Eric here. He says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. I plan to stay in Tokyo for about a week, and I'm having a little anxiety about using the subway to get around. I'm from Texas, where there's not a subway in the entire state. Good God. My question to you, could I use a ride-sharing company to get around to ease my anxiety, or would that be too pricey? From Eric. And my advice to you, Eric, is first of all, the subway is pretty easy to use in Japan. Just use Google Maps. I get it that the maps themselves can be a nightmare to try and understand. But if you just have Google Maps, it's fine. And also, there is a good app that came out, I think, last year called Japan Taxi. And it's a little bit like Uber. You sort of put in your start destination where you want to be picked up and your final destination. I think you pay through the app itself or in cash if you want. And yeah, Japan Taxi, it's kind of taken over because Uber never really kicked off in Japan. There was a lot of, there's a very big taxi lobby that didn't want Uber to sort of come in and ruin things. So the app works pretty well, but it is pricey. You are going to pay a premium. For my advice is just take the subway. I mean, you've never had problems on the subway, have you, Pete?
It's fine. Right. It's very easy to figure out, to be honest. All of the maps are now in English and pretty easy to get around. And the Yamanote line, it just does everything you need it to do. Certainly in Tokyo, yes. The circle, it's just a big circle line. If you're familiar with London's place, just a big old circle line. It does everything and you'll get to where you need to be eventually. Just get on it either direction and you'll get there.
Exactly. No, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Speaking of the Yamanote line, by the way, oh my days! One of my favourite tech YouTubers, Techmon, it's like a man, sort of middle-aged bloke who basically just goes through old tech from like from the 70s and 80s and stuff, emerging technologies that never actually emerged, stuff that got cancelled, prison tech like see-through radios and televisions that are allowed to be used in prison and stuff. He's got such a great collection and a great eye and a great kind of manner about him explaining how all of these things work. He's just imported a Densha de Go integrated video game system. So like the famous arcade game Densha de Go, it's basically a train simulator, but it's in the arcade with like proper train controls and stuff. And yeah, they've basically took, I think, the PlayStation 2 version of the game, slapped it into an emulator and encased it in this little proprietary train kind of what do you call it, like control system thing that you just plug straight in your television, straight into the HDMI and off you go. And it's all in Japanese. It would find life outside of Japan because it's such a unique, lovely, charming bit of kit. But yeah, they're on sale now and it's a lovely bit of work. Even I, who has flirted with fiddling around with Densha de Go, fancy one. It looks really, really nice, and I think you can get them on Amazon Japan. And there's plenty of companies that can import you one. But yeah, that's probably going to be my next purchase. Wow.
What better way to spend the rest of your lockdown playing that, riding the trains around the Yamanote line?
They've got the Chuo line, the Yamanote line, and also the Osaka train as well.
Ah, the Chuo line. You can ride it around with your sword, hanging out the window, sword in one hand, driving the train in the other. Live the dream. Live the Japan dream.
Beautiful.
We've got one last question from John. He says, good morning, Chris and Pete. I'm John from Cambridge, Ontario, Canada. Just a small question or observation regarding Chris's Japanese speaking voice. Could it be that Chris is projecting Ken Watanabe from a serious movie when he speaks Japanese? For example, in the Godzilla trailer, when he says the phrase, let them fight. Thank you for your consistent and amazing content. I love listening to your voices and banter. It gives me something to look forward to every week. Best regards, John. I must admit, I do love Ken Watanabe's voice, whether you speak in English or Japanese. Have you seen Batman Begins when he's like Ra's al Ghul, this villain? And he says, Bruce Wayne is about to go back to Gotham to like vanquish the city and do some shit. Mm. And he has to kill this man to be part of the team, the League of Shadows. And he says, no, I'm not going to kill this man. And Ra's al Ghul, played by Ken Watanabe, is like, you cannot lead these men unless you are ready to do what is necessary. You must kill this man. And he does it in this really cool voice. And I love that voice. And that is the reason you should watch The Last Samurai, just to enjoy that voice when he talks to Tom Cruise.
Do you remember a couple of years ago, maybe it might have been early last year, Ken Watanabe was in The King and I around the corner from Absolute Radio, where I used to record a lot of these shows. And we were so close to sort of, you know, bumping into him or getting him on the show. And I failed you, Chris. And I was thinking about this quite recently, actually, because I think you brought up Ken Watanabe in one of your videos.
Yeah, my latest video. Someone sent me a cardboard cutout. Yeah.
I failed, man.
I failed as well.
I will fall on my sword one day just because I feel so bad about it.
We will meet him. I reckon before the year's out, we'll find a way to meet him. And the prophecy will be foretold that we will meet Ken Watanabe. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back on Sunday to do it all over again, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, enjoy the rest of your week and we'll see you on Sunday. Have a good one.
When do the shows come out, Chris?
Wednesday and Sunday.
Yay!
Not Tuesday.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Probably the best way. Fucking bollocks. Let's do that. Get out. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined this week by fucking hell. I fucked up for Gurn. God's sake. And joining us is Top London. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, this week by Pete Donaldson. Fuck, fuck, fuckity fuck.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.